And now, the world's most exciting podcast, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. Here he is, Michael Savage.
TikTok has spread money around Washington like you wouldn't believe. Look at Joe Biden. Joe Biden says out of one corner of his mouth, oh yeah, we ought to get tough on TikTok. Out of the other side of his mouth, he's on TikTok.
We have with us the man of the hour, the great investigative reporter and author, Peter Schweitzer, whose name is everywhere. Peter, welcome to the Michael Savage podcast.
Oh, it's great to be with you, doctor. Thank you.
Well, call me Michael. As someone said, call me anything but late to dinner. But truthfully, Peter, you know, they're holding hearings now about banning TikTok.
Yeah.
And they're mentioning your book. Do you think your book, Blood Money, How the Powerful Turn a Blind Eye to China Killing Americans, had anything to do with this congressional action?
Well, I hope so. You know, it's always hard to connect the dots. I will say that before the book came out, I went up to Washington, D.C., met with several senators, members of Congress, including Congressman Mike Gallagher, the chairman of the China Committee, who's pushing this. So I'd like to believe that, you know, we helped give the push. And I think this is a crucial moment, Michael. I mean, the question is, are we at the point in America where we can't even force the sale of a CCP-controlled app where Chinese officials already are bragging about how this is a Trojan horse? I mean, if we can't get this done, we can't get anything done.
Savage. Michael Savage, a host like no other.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com.
Well, it's a good question, because I was listening to some of the discussion about banning TikTok or seizing control or making them divest their control, which only means that an American conglomerate's going to take it over and basically answer to China anyway, because China will control the money. So I don't see much happening. I mean, you have to really break it up the way Standard Oil was broken up well over 100 and some odd years ago. But even Standard Oil, after it was broken up, broke themselves into different pieces. Standard Oil of New Jersey, Standard Oil of Pennsylvania, Standard Oil of Ohio, and it was still controlled by the Rockefellers.
Yeah. I mean, look, there's no, as you know, there's no silver bullet that fixes this problem. It's going to be a series of ongoing pitched battles. But I think this is an important first step. I agree with you. Then you have the issue of this being controlled by an American company. But at least in that situation, if you have the right political leadership, I got to emphasize that you actually have the ability to, you know, try to regulate and control this entity. If it's a Chinese entity, you don't. So I think it's a good step, but it's not going to fix everything by any means.
All right. So your book, Blood Money, comes out. All of a sudden, there's congressional action to ban Chinese control of TikTok. Everyone's saying TikTok this, TikTok that, and some American social platforms are trying to buy it now, or lining, and their stock jumped today, which is in a strange way just as worrisome to me. But I also learned, Peter, that Joe Biden is deeply enamored with TikTok, isn't he? His administration.
Yeah, he is. You know, this is a guy who, of course, reversed Donald Trump, Trump's position in 2020, executive order forcing the sale of TikTok to an American company. Biden reversed that, even though Biden knew at that time that it was a national security threat. He forbid members of his campaign in 2020 from even being on TikTok because it was dangerous.
Wait, who did?
Joe Biden did in 2020. He forbid any campaign member from having the TikTok app on their phone because of security concerns. So he knows what the issues are, Michael.
Well, where is he on TikTok these days?
Yeah. These days he is using TikTok because he thinks it's going to help him in the election. And let's remember the Carlyle Group and some of the other big investment firms that have stakes, ownership stakes in ByteDance, which is the parent company of TikTok, are big, big Joe Biden investors. And they don't want this. They don't want this change taking place. So, you know, Biden is saying that if this bill comes to the White House, he'll sign it. I think that's subterfuge. I think he's counting on this being killed in the Senate. He wants the political benefit of declaring his independence from China, but he has no intention of actually signing this bill.
Peter Schweitzer, we know that you're a great investigative journalist. Those are my words. And we know you're a great author. But I really didn't know that you were a member of the Ultra Terrorism Study Group at the U.S. government Sandia National Laboratory. What was that about? I mean, I'm just curious. It's a little somewhat related to this. What is that?
Yeah, that was a long time ago. That was in the 1990s. The federal government lab wanted to do raise questions on what would a terrorism attack look like post-Cold War? Who would do it? What are some of the creative, crazy things that could be done?
Yeah.
So it was a lot of war gaming. It was quite an interesting exercise, and it was headed by a guy named Jim Woolsey, who had been a former head of the CIA.
He was the head of the CIA, wasn't he?
Yes. Yeah, under Clinton.
He's not the one who was found floating down the Potomac, was he?
No, that was Colby. Yes.
Unbelievable. I remember that story that shocked me.
Yeah.
That really shocked me. But, well, getting back to Ultra Terrorism Study Group at the Sandia National Laboratory, how much further do we have to go about ultra terrorism than flooding America with criminals that have been released from Venezuelan prisons, which is coming out on a daily basis now?
Yeah.
I just posted a thing from a friend who's a special forces guy in Vietnam, a real hero, medic, who's out of his mind with what's going on. He just came back from Texas, and he said they're releasing them out of the prisons in Venezuela, and they're coming right here. They're getting $600 a month and other benefits, and they're being registered to vote immediately.
Yeah. No, this is hybrid warfare. This is immigration is hybrid warfare. Venezuela is doing it. Nicaragua is doing it. China's doing it. And it's designed to sow social chaos in America. And guess what? It's working.
Oh, sure. It's working.
It's only going to get worse. And it's not just the violent criminals. What's happening in the context of China is China has, in addition to the fentanyl that they're sending into the United States, the biggest problem that we have in terms of highly potent, illegally produced marijuana in the country are these illegal grows that are taking place, California, Washington State, Oklahoma, Maine. 95% of the cases, Michael, these are Chinese funded and they are operated by Chinese nationals that are illegally in the country.
Oh my goodness.
So what we can see here is, unfortunately, the open border policy of the United States is allowing the Mexican drug cartels to easily smuggle fentanyl from Mexico to the United States. So the CCP is a root cause of the fentanyl epidemic in the United States, as we know. And they provided drug cartels with raw materials for fentanyl and other drugs. So not just fentanyl is one of them, there's also other drugs. And making the drug cartels rich and powerful. And by having this weakness of the borders, the openers over there, is you can say the fentanyl is created by POA to target Americans and to weaken the Americans to then destroy America. So that is the conclusion that we can draw up over there.
Well,
so,
you know, my position on marijuana has been very clear for a long time. And I know that it was George Soros. And I have to bring up the evil one's name again. I remember it distinctly. I had a radio show and I debated his front man when he was trying to push the medical marijuana initiatives in both Arizona and California. And I vehemently argued with this jerk. And I said, you know, this is a backdoor to legalizing marijuana. Oh, no, it isn't. It's just for medical use. I saw it. You talk about a Trojan horse. So why would a guy like Soros, who has undermined America every way he could, in my humble opinion, why would he want marijuana legalized? To dumb down an entire nation. It's like opium was dumped on the Chinese by the British and it destroyed China. And you know very well how that ended, which is the Boxer Rebellion. who threw the British out by killing the drug dealers.
Yeah. Yeah. No. And this is the thing. The Chinese call this cognitive warfare. This is related to fentanyl. This is related to TikTok.
Cognitive warfare.
Cognitive warfare.
Oh, that's a big word. That's a big statement.
Yeah. And this is what they call it. And they believe that the competition between us and them is less about who has the best missiles and tanks. They don't want a kinetic war. They believe it's a competition that's going to be sort of a battle of the mind. And so to the extent that they can dumb down, give American kids the cotton candy version of TikTok while their kids get the spinach version, they can get this highly potent marijuana. This illegal stuff they're growing is far more potent than the stuff that's legalized. A lot of it's laced with fentanyl. This is part of this cognitive strategy.
Savage. The Savage Nation. It's Savage on Demand.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to LibsynAds.com now. That's LibsynAds.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Libsyn Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Libsyn Ads. Go to LibsynAds.com now. That's LibsynAds.com.
Senator, the number of incursions was something that was alarming to me as I took command last month. I don't know the actual number. I don't think anybody does, but it's in the thousands. I have talked to Customs and Border Protection, who are responsible for the UAS incursions and in the border, along with DOJ, and they put the number at thousands.
Over what period of time is that, thousands?
I would say in the probably over a month. We could probably have over 1,000 a month.
General, do they, in your view, represent a homeland defense threat?
Senator, they alarm me from being the person responsible for homeland defense. I haven't seen any of them manifest in a threat to the level of national defense, but I see the potential only growing.
Are they getting even? Are the Chinese who play the long game, are they getting even with the West for the opium that the British dumped?
They absolutely are. As I point out in the book, there's a story involving Chu Enlai, the foreign minister for China in the 1960s, who met with Nasser, the leader of Egypt, in 1966. And this is based on the memoirs of their aides, both of these gentlemen, their aides published memoirs. And they said at that meeting, Chu Enlai said, "We are going to reverse the opium war." And they did that in Vietnam, right? They sold heroin at below cost in Vietnam.
Oh, to our troops.
To our troops.
And many of whom came home heroin addicts.
Exactly. And they learned from that. And today they are carrying out the same policy with fentanyl. And they believe that this is going to lead to America's century of humiliation, which is that time period where they had the opium addiction. So this is a concerted effort. And
Peter, I'm suffering from hypertension these days. It's a new medical condition, which I used to laugh about it. I thought old guys get hypertension. I have it. And every time I talk with you, I think I have to go take another blood pressure pill. It's worse than I thought. But I have to say to myself, I'm not shocked. I mean, I understand how war is fought. It's fought on different levels, sometimes with guns and bullets, other times with words and ideas. And so what you're saying makes perfect sense to me. You know, I'm a cynic. Okay. I've been a cynic since I was a young kid. I was going to begin this interview with this, you know, kind of cynical statement saying, come on, Peter, how much of this China bashing is cause for real concern and how much of this is simple jingoism? I think you've answered the question.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think you have to judge a country's leadership by what they do. You look at the fentanyl issue. It is not, people think of it as a Mexican cartel operation. They're the junior partners. Huh. China's the senior partner. Think about it. The precursors come from China. Everybody knows that. They're offloaded in the port of Manzanillo in western Mexico. The international port is run by a Chinese company. They take those precursors to the border of the United States in northern Mexico, where, according to our Department of Homeland Security, 2,000 Chinese nationals happen to be living, and they help them turn these precursors into fentanyl. They need to put them in pills.
They're doing it where? In Mexico?
In Mexico, right across the border. 2,000 Chinese nationals.
With support of the Mexican government, no doubt.
Yeah, exactly. The Mexican government's aware of this. But, you know, now you've got the fentanyl. People that are dying of the overdoses are dying. They think they're taking Adderall or Vicodin or something else that's actually laced with fentanyl. You need pill presses. Where do the cartels get the pill presses? They get them from China, and the Chinese sell them to the drug cartels at cost. At cost. The cartels, when they are spreading this poison in America, they need communication devices. Michael, what do they use? They use Chinese apps and Chinese encrypted communication devices, because they know the Chinese won't share that with the U.S. Law enforcement. And finally, the money laundering. You know, the money laundering. Back in the days of cocaine in the 80s and 90s, the drug cartels laundered their money in Latin American banks. Today, they're laundering them in state-owned banks, Chinese state-owned banks, and they're using Chinese students in the United States on education visas to do it.
So, Peter, wait, let me get my blood pressure pill. Hold on. we just went up another 5 points of mercury just now.
Yeah.
I'm going to use that as a running line. I have to take it right after this interview. It's actually nauseatingly frightening. Now we turn to my favorite topic, because the Oscars were just held, and we know how vapid they were, how they always have been vapid. We know that the Oscars are nothing more than a Hollywood trade show, like a plumber's union holding events for people with the best plumbing supplies. But they've turned it into an international deal, okay? Your book, Blood Money, discloses that Steven Spielberg and Jeffrey Katzenberg are actually hand in glove with Chinese propagandists?
Yeah, they struck co-financing deals with the Chinese about 7 or 8 years ago. In fact, they bought part of Amblin Entertainment, which is their vehicle. And one of the shocking things
who bought that?
The Chinese state-backed investors bought a portion of Amblin Entertainment.
Amblin?
Yes, Amblin, A-M-B-L-E-N, which is Spielberg's production company.
Ah, okay.
Yes. And here's the thing. When you look at what they have produced, and this doesn't go just for them. This is, you know, Universal, Paramount, lots of these companies. When you look at the films they're producing and compare them, the ones that are Chinese financed to the ones that are not, it's shocking at how pro-CCP, pro-China they have become. So look at, for example, the franchise Kung Fu Panda. You know, the first couple of ones that came out, they were all about improving yourself. You know, the panda guy learns to challenge himself, to be confident, et cetera, et cetera. Well, Kung Fu Panda 3 was co-financed with the Chinese. They got to review the script. They got to alter the script, not just as it appears in China, but as it appears in the United States. Kung Fu Panda 3, there's basically a peasants' revolt. And it's not about the panda bear being concerned about elevating himself and being a better person and developing good character. It's about the collective. It's about the group. Or you look at some of the big blockbuster movies over the last few years, The Martian with Matt Damon. How does Matt Damon, who's stranded on Mars, how does he get rescued? He gets rescued by NASA using Chinese technology that the Chinese gave to NASA. That's because that film is financed in part by Chinese investors, and they insisted that that be in the movie. So these Hollywood types are glad to go along with it.
I'm reaching for the pill now. Another pill. No, it's so bad. So I watch Netflix a lot. People say I shouldn't, but I really don't care about, you know, some of the shows. I tend to watch foreign language shows on Netflix because they don't have a lot of this DEI crap in them. Like, I love Polish dramas. It's about Polish people in Poland. And I see the evolution and devolution of the nation up and down, communism to quasi-capitalism. So one show I started watching was called Warrior on Netflix. I don't know if you've seen it.
I have not.
It's about San Francisco in the 1870s from the perspective of the Chinese immigrants. Mm-hmm. And it shows them being brought over basically on cattle boats and how oppressed they are, and how the ruling class in San Francisco the cops are all Irish, the mayor was Irish, which is all true.
Yeah.
And how oppressive they are and how they spit on the Chinese. And it shows it from the Chinese perspective, by the way.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, you know, what you're saying to me, do they have a hand in Netflix as well?
It's possible. I don't know. All these companies want access to the Chinese market. Netflix does not have it yet, but I'm sure they are trying to figure out a way to make that work. And that gives the Chinese government, the Ministry of Propaganda, leverage over these companies. And they're prepared to, you know, basically do backflips. You know, one of the best production teams in Hollywood are the Russo brothers. You know, they did the Captain America franchise and they've done films on Netflix. The Russo brothers actually worked with China in producing a propaganda film called Wolf Warrior 3. And people kind of compare it to Rambo. It's not like Rambo, because in Rambo, part of what Sylvester Stallone's character is fighting against is his own government, right? Corruption and malfeasance in his own government. This Chinese film is a glorification of the CCP and the Chinese government. And here you have these top Hollywood producers who actually are involved in the production of this film. They set up a studio where they get Chinese funding. It's everywhere. So they're doing projects on Netflix. There may be influence that's brought to bear that way.
Maybe I should sell the Michael Savage podcast to the Chinese and we can change the motto from borders, language, and culture to open borders, no language, and no culture. Maybe that would appeal to them.
I think you get a good price for that.
Luckily, I don't need the money. But Peter, in your book, Blood Money, How the Powerful Turn a Blind Eye to China Killing Americans, you know, you're seen everywhere right now. And in the introduction to your book, you lay out some of the documents from the Chinese military about the strategy of disintegration warfare.
Yeah.
Now, you just described a little while ago cognitive warfare. Please tell me what disintegration warfare means.
Yeah, cognitive warfare would be a subset of disintegration warfare. And disintegration warfare is really a new version of a strategy that Sun Tzu advocated centuries ago, which is the best strategist is a strategist defeats their enemy without actually fighting them.
I remember quoting that in a book I wrote about children's health in 1982. And I said, the mark of the best warrior is he who does not draw his sword.
Yes. Yes. Their enemy. Yes.
They defeat the enemy without fighting them.
Exactly.
Without openly fighting them.
Exactly. And that's what disintegration warfare is. There was a book written in 2010 about it. President Xi has embraced it. And it's exactly what it sounds like. They want to disintegrate and fragment American society. They're doing it all host of ways. I mean, one of the biggest surprises to me in researching the book, Michael, is we've had over the last 5 years the development of this trans movement in America.
Oh,
right?
God, don't tell me the Chinese have their hands in that.
Two of the largest funders of the trans movement in the United States are China-based billionaires.
Okay, undermining the fabric, the social fabric, the moral fabric. What better way than to put men who say they're women into women's sports?
Yeah.
And jumble everyone's brain. What country could tolerate this?
Yeah,
exactly. Talk about cheating.
Yeah.
You're a man who says I'm a woman and you beat women in soccer or in how? Who would not see this as cheating?
Yes, exactly. And by the way, the first instance where you had a trans athletes playing in a professional sport was the WNBA team in Brooklyn, which is owned by Joe Tsai, who's one of the co-founders of Alibaba. He owns that team. And he did that. And he is somebody who has poured tens of millions of dollars into trans research and trans advocacy in the United States. Here's the thing, Michael. Mm. He and the other billionaire that I mentioned in the book, they don't advocate for these positions in China. They only advocate for the trans cause in the United States.
Oh, of course. They'd be killed in China if they undermine masculinity.
Yes.
Toxic that's masculinity.
Exactly right. Yeah.
Savage. The Savage Nation. It's savage, uncut, unfiltered, and raw.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Libsyn Ads. Go to libsynads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Libsyn Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Libsyn Ads. Go to libsynads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Now, yesterday I was at a little fast food place near me, and it sells chicken sandwiches. And normally it's filled with local people. It was filled like, it was so loud and boisterous. It was like toxic masculinity. So I looked around. There was all these young, strapping white guys, and they were wearing blazers that said U.S. Navy on them. I said, here in my little liberal enclave? So I'm listening, and they're just guys talking loud. And I see, I went up and I said, your blazers or your sweatshirts say U.S. Navy, rugby. I said, what are you doing here? He said, well, we're here to play against UC Berkeley. I said, well, I'm a Berkeley, a UC Berkeley alumnus, but I'm going to root for you because I like the Navy more. Well, they laughed. And then I got to talk with them a minute. Every one of them looked like a recruiting poster for World War II. There were no trans. There were no. It was all recruiting poster guys from World War II. Why? Annapolis, number one. But number two, it was the rugby team. You can't fake rugby, can you?
No, you can't. You can't. And of course, I know you've made this observation before. I certainly have. It's funny how the trans always seems to go one way, right? You don't have female athletes that really want to compete in men's sports. It's overwhelmingly biological men who want to compete in women's sports. It's cheating. That's exactly what
it is. It's cheating is what I would call it from now on. Oh, you're a guy who wants to beat up women. So you go on the sock on the basketball team and knock them down and almost break their legs. I don't ever. I mean, what a country. You know, it's all happening because of Joe Biden, in my opinion. He is such a distorted being, in my mind. He's such a distorted being that everything's become distorted. You know, there's an old saying, the mind that alters, alters all. And I think I forget who wrote it. I used to quote it all the time. This is an administration that has an altered mind, which is win at all costs, cheat at all costs, and it filters down to the sidewalk level. I think that's why the country is in such disarray.
Yeah, no, I agree. There's chaos at the top, and that chaos filters down. I would add to your list of the problems for Joe Biden. It's this compromised nature of his relationship with China that makes it very difficult for him to say anything of any substance. I mean, just take the fentanyl issue, Michael. We laid out kind of how China's the senior partner, the cartels are the junior partner. Joe Biden will not confront Xi Jinping on this. He says he raises it, but there's no finger pointing. And here's the reason why, I would argue. In 2017, the Biden family got a $5 million interest-free loan from a Chinese businessman. That Chinese businessman happened to be the business partner of a guy named Zhang Anlo, who goes by the name White Wolf. He's the head of the criminal gang that set up the Sinaloa cartel and the fentanyl trade.
Oh, God.
So you literally have one degree of separation between the Biden family and the Chinese gang that helped create the fentanyl scourge. So it's not a surprise Joe Biden doesn't want to talk about this.
Well, are you implying that the Biden family is basically a criminal enterprise?
I think in terms of corruption, criminal, yes, absolutely. There's no question about it in my mind. They've never answered a basic question, Michael, which is they got some $30 million from Chinese businessmen. They've never explained what they were actually being paid to do.
So, Peter, you mentioned politicians, obviously not just Biden.
Yeah.
Which politicians are involved with China? Let's say that people would recognize if you threw some names out.
Mitch McConnell would be one. The other one.
Oh, of course.
Yes.
Yeah, that's an interesting. Mitch McConnell just said he's stepping down, which of course sounded like a weird move, because if he was stepping down, he should have stepped down. He's going to step down.
Right.
And this was soon after his sister-in-law was found dead in her car in a pond.
Yeah.
You saw that, I'm sure.
I did.
Are there dots to be connected between her death and him stepping down?
Possible. I mean, Mitch McConnell himself has said that you know, he grieved, and that might have been one of the reasons. I think the interesting story in Angela Chow's mysterious death is that her husband, Jim Breyer, who's a longtime investor in China, he's an American who's been investing in China for 25 years and has been in favor of it for 25 years. He gave a speech in Davos where he said, and Bloomberg's reported this, where he said in Davos, you know what? I'm going to stop investing in China for now because I think the situation there is too unstable. That really sent shockwaves through the Western investment community that was putting money into China. And China was none too pleased with him making that statement. So,
and what? And she, his wife was soon thereafter found dead in her car in a pond?
Yeah, about 5 weeks later. Yes. 5 weeks later, she was found dead in a pond. So, you know, I know they're investigating it. I know there have been some reporting on it, but I don't think we know all the facts.
You know, Peter, not too long ago, but everyone's forgotten, a Supreme Court justice was found dead in a house of ill repute in Texas on a border with Mexico. Does anyone remember that story? Remember that was hushed up?
I remember vaguely, but I don't remember.
Of course, vaguely, yeah. But in a house of ill repute on the border of Mexico, found dead, never investigated. So, you know, you watch fiction, you watch movies, you read novels, and you don't believe any of this could be true. But how much is it life imitating art or art imitating life? People are murdered for, you know, things political, number one. And thus far, what I've known in my career, Peter, I don't know whether you concur with this, is we still have a great degree of freedom of speech in this country. You and I talking is an example of that. But we feel the vice closing on all of us under Biden. I have said for years that the only time you get killed or whacked is when you actually expose the money trails, when you actually expose and cut into their profit margin. They don't care what you say about them, but you start cutting into their profit margin, you'll wind up dead in a pond in your own car. I think we can let that hang in the air. I mean, your book is called Blood Money. I hope I'm wrong. Let's leave it at that.
Yeah, right? No, I think you're right. It's a serious threat, and the future, the stakes are very, very high.
Okay, let's leave it generic. You're still smiling. That's all, yeah. I know. So politicians, the politicians are the Bidens and others. Who in our government, on the other hand, Peter, is speaking out against the Chinese influence? Who is speaking out against the blood money that you talk about in your book?
It's a pretty short list, but there are some people on the Republican side. And I would give a shout out to one lone Democrat who's been very, very good on TikTok. That would be Senator Warner of Virginia. He's really been the only Democrat who has been very, very aggressively saying this is a spy app. It needs to be banned.
Senator who?
Senator Warner from Virginia.
John Warner.
Yeah, he's been pretty good on this issue.
Wasn't he a former defense secretary?
No, he was. But he used to run a high tech firm.
Oh.
And so he's sort of well acquainted with these issues. I think on the Republican side, we have some people who've been very good on this. Senator Rick Scott from Florida has been good on it. Marsha Blackburn from Tennessee has been outstanding on it. And, you know, you look at the vote in the House of Representatives on this TikTok bill. I mean, it was 350 something to 50. I mean, it was overwhelming. So I take encouragement in that.
But why is there such a bipartisan move against TikTok all of a sudden? And I started this interview by saying your book comes out. You set off shockwaves again because you're a great investigative reporter and you have a way of explaining things very clearly. But they don't really care about the truth. What really is behind all of a sudden these evil Democrats lining up on something on the right side of things all of a sudden? What happened here?
Well, it's a good question. I think one of the things that's at work is that some of the U.S.-based big tech companies, Meta or Facebook would certainly be one of those, are looking at this prize, which is TikTok. So they want to take over and control this company. I would say if there's ever a case of antitrust allowing Meta to be in charge of not only Facebook and Instagram, but also in charge of TikTok. No way on earth they should be able to acquire this company.
So Zuckerberg wants to buy TikTok for sure.
Yes. And I think probably Microsoft does. I think those tech firms are pushing.
I get it. So they put out some seed money into the hands of the Congress and said, join us on this. Let's bust them. Let's say they can't own it. They're all a threat to us. And we'll just step in and buy the spoils. Yeah, well, that makes sense to me.
Yeah. It's a government smash and grab, right? It's like street crime. It's government smash and grab.
Savage. Home of borders, language, culture. The Savage Nation.
A savage republic. Inside the Plot to Destroy America lays out the threats we face, prepare you for what's next, and offer solutions to save our republic. Please wake up and fight back before it is too late. You can buy it right now on Amazon or on BarnesandNoble.com. A Savage Republic, Inside the Plot to Destroy America by Michael Savage. Thank you for listening. Share it with 5 others.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNADS.com.
Okay, so recent articles about your book, Blood Money, are these. Blood Money, how Steven Spielberg, Jeffrey Katzenberg, and other Hollywood big shots bow to Beijing and allow their films to be used for pro-China propaganda. 100 of the highest grossing movies released between 2014 and 2018, 41 had Chinese investors. Blood Money. Chinese government documents reveal detailed plan to subvert American culture using tech and Hollywood to target American children. Okay. Schweitzer. Biden won't do anything about China increasing gun violence. Won't do anything about China increasing gun violence in the U.S. And you say you're talking the book about these devices. They're called Glock switches.
Yeah.
What is that?
Yeah. So this is another part of China's strategy to sow chaos in the United States. A Glock switch is a small device. It's highly illegal. You put it into a Glock handgun and it turns that handgun into a fully automatic machine gun.
Oh, God.
And in 2018, the Chinese started smuggling these into the United States, and they were marketing them explicitly to criminal gangs, drug dealers. Ugh. And so if you go on YouTube and just search Glock switch police, you will find video after video of cops driving down the street, suddenly being subject to a hail of gunfire because one of these switches that the Chinese provided. And we're talking about thousands of them. Oh, so yeah. The rate of machine gun fire on the streets of America since 2018 has risen more than 5,000%.
Hold it. I'm reaching for the hypertension pills. I thought we were going to smooth this out, but it's getting worse. Let's go to the next story. Blood Money, meet the secretive China-linked U.S. left-wing groups driving chaos in our streets. Okay, I know what you're going to say, I think. You talked about trans groups being backed by China because that sows discord. How about Black Lives Matter? Were they at all funded by Chinese money?
So indirectly, the two groups that matter the most, I think, when you're talking about the 2020 riots and when you're now talking about these pro-Hamas riots are two groups that are deeply linked with China. One's called FRSO, the Freedom Road Socialist Organization. The other one is called PSL, the Party for Socialism and Liberation. Both of these organizations have pledged their loyalty to the CCP. Their leaders have met with Chinese officials. There's the indirect flow of cash to them through third parties. The Chinese track the movements of these groups. And in fact, the Chinese issued a report I quoted in the book in 2020 saying that FRSO is effectively running Black Lives Matter.
I see all of these Palestinian groups are so well organized. It's like right after Israel counterattacked, after the women and children were slaughtered, raped, children's heads bashed. And the minute Israel counterattacked, there were the signs that were already made. Zionism is racism. And all of a sudden, where did these thousands of Palestinian scarves come from in the signs? They were like ready to go. They were sitting in a warehouse on a shelf. like in an Amazon warehouse ready to go for the rent the mobs. Chinese money again?
Yeah, well, I don't know about specifically about those items, but go back to the, remember there was a massive protest, pro-Hamas protest in Washington, D.C. in November. Look at who the speakers were at that event. They were leaders from PSL, FRSO. In fact, some of those leaders are the same ones, Eugene Puryear, for example, who were massively involved in the BLM protests in 2020. So these are the same organizations. I agree with you. A lot of the people that are at the protests are Muslims, they're Palestinians, but you have to have organizational infrastructure. You have to have resources and money ready to go.
Oh, they're very well organized.
Yes. And these Chinese-backed organizations are absolutely at the center of both of these. They acknowledge so. And when you look at who's speaking and leading these events, it's these organizations. And again, China wants to sow chaos. They want to push a conversation to the extreme. They don't want the conversation to be about, okay, do police need better training in a certain situation? They want the conversation to be all cops are racists. We need to dissolve the police because they're terrible and they're part of this racist regime. So that's what they want.
They're behind that crazed notion. Okay. I understand that. You deball the police and then you have absolute control over the society.
Yeah.
Deball the military. I read today that West Point just eliminated duty, honor, and country as their motto for the first time in 100 years. Or however, no, actually since the 60s when it was created. A friend of mine, Special Forces, sent it. He said he can't believe this. All under Biden. They eliminated duty, honor, and country from the West Point curriculum. I mean, Peter, I know you'll need a hypertension pill by the time I get through with this interview. I hope not. So we look at this. It's worse than I thought. And I have a pretty dim view of this country right now. But I retain my optimism. I don't know why. I do. It's like those guys in the chicken stand who look like a World War II recruiting poster. They're in Annapolis. And I said, are they still teaching about the father of the nuclear submarine?
Oh, Rickover.
The Rickover effect, how one man made a difference. He fought. He was a maverick. These young kids, they couldn't have been more than 18. As I say, you know, rugby players, they said, oh, yes. They said they taught us about Rickover and what a rebel he was and how he had to fight the establishment in the Navy to build that nuclear submarine. I was shocked that they're still teaching about Rickover, because you talk about an honorary guy who was a quirky genius who fought the establishment. And I said, you know, there's hope for the country. I have to put out a drop of hope. I saw these young kids and one of them said, oh, yes, I'm going to go into the submarine fleet. I want to be a submariner. I said, you know, this sounds good to me. Maybe the country is on a maybe we've had enough of this left wing stuff, Peter. Maybe it is turning.
Well, and look, I think if there's a point of optimism in my book, and it's hard with a title like Blood Money to be optimistic, but here's one of the surprising things I think we may be slightly less divided than a lot of us think of on these issues. And here's why. One of the things that China does is they have thousands of military personnel who each in turn have thousands of social media accounts in the West. Posing as Americans and Westerners. And they have them on Twitter or X. They have them on Instagram. Basically, half of these accounts, Michael, say America's a hopelessly racist, bigoted society.
They're the ones they're putting it out.
Yeah, they're putting it out. The other half, again, posing as Americans, the other half, and we're talking about hundreds of thousands of accounts. Other half are saying, I only like white people. Now, why are they doing that? They're doing that because they are trying to create greater fissures and divisions in our country. So I think some of this is being astroturfed. I'm not saying we don't have our differences. I'm not saying that there's not a radical left out there domestically doing this on their own. But I think they're amplifying and magnifying it in a way that makes it bigger than it actually is on some of these issues.
Peter, okay. So your book is about blood money. I keep repeating the title because that's a great title. The book is absolutely something people should read. Say, well, oh, I know this. No, they don't know this. They don't know the extent to which this has pervaded our society. But I want to conclude by discussing the Ukraine-Russia war, which is eating me alive, because this should have been stopped 2 years ago. And we learned that Biden interfered with a peace proposal a year ago or 2 years ago. Just the other day, the Pope comes out and says that he agrees with an interviewer that Ukraine should wave the white, have the courage to wave the white flag, basically because he's afraid of World War III. And I said, finally, the Pope does something right. This left-wing Lenin's Pope, I call him, has done something right. Okay, fine. Now, we see that Russia and China have been driven closer because of Biden's insane support for Zelensky. I don't know how else to put it. I mean, insane support for Zelensky, which is not to say that Russia had the right to invade. I know the whole history going back to the Maidan Revolution. I know McCain and Nuland had a hand in it. I know all of that. And I know that Russia was somewhat provoked, but no one's supporting the invasion of Ukraine. On the other hand, any sane person wants this stopped before those missiles start flying with nuclear weapons on them. So Russia is now much closer to China, which was its natural enemy. They were never really allies. Biden now has made Russia dependent upon Chinese munitions for resupply, Chinese drones, Iranian drones. Where does China fit in with this Russia-Ukraine war, Peter? Do you cover this in your book?
I don't cover it specifically, but I think, look, the problem with Ukraine has always been nobody in the Biden administration, nobody in the Zelensky government can explain what the strategy actually is. You know, you can say, well, our strategy is to win, but what does that mean? That means basically the elimination of the Russian state, and that's not going to happen. And you're now going to back a nuclear power into a corner. So there's no strategy, no exact exit plan to actually bring this war to a conclusion. So you have to have some kind of a negotiated settlement. China likes the fact that Russia is isolated. They are trying to benefit from it. They are benefiting from it. And they are watching very closely how the Biden administration in this fog is operating. And it's going to influence the decisions they take. What they see more than anything, Michael, is weakness. They see weakness and indecision. And the fact that they are backing Zelensky with no strategy, nobody knows what the strategy is indicative actually of a sign of weakness and a lack of clear thinking.
Well, I woke up today and I saw that Ukraine fires drones into Russia and blows up three oil refineries inside Russia. Yeah. I'm supposed to celebrate that?
Yeah.
That to me is an escalation that can only yield more bloodshed and more death.
Yeah. And again, what is the ultimate goal here? I'm very glad that the Ukrainians have bloodied the Russians' nose. They deserved it. They went into this country. But again, you have to have a strategy. And the strategy is we're going to defeat Russia. That's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. You need to have a negotiated settlement that fixes this problem. And China is watching things unfold on a global stage. And what they see is weakness and chaos. And as I quote one of the Chinese military officials in the book saying is, the internal strife is in America is sapping the country of its strength.
Oh, sure it is.
It is.
Oh, and that's what everyone I know is demoralized.
Yeah.
I mean, men who are strong and hardy and built things in this country, they have tuned out of politics. They all feel disheartened. That's my personal experience.
Yeah.
Good men have just said, I can't take it anymore. I don't even watch the news.
Yeah. And the sad thing is, what does that leave our politics to then? It leads it to the cynics, the grifters, the ideologues on the left. When good people say, I just can't engage anymore, and I understand exactly why they feel that way, but you're basically ceding the battlefield to the enemy. And my hope is that, you know, come November, people don't do that. Because if people do that, things are going to get worse. They're not going to get better.
Well, Peter, your book, Blood Money, has set off a shockwave again in America. Blood Money, How the Powerful Turn a Blind Eye to China Killing Americans. Very well put. I don't have to say good luck with the book because it's not about good luck at this point. It's about people waking up, not about good luck. And Peter, I want to thank you again for being a great investigative journalist and author with your book, Blood Money. Thanks for being with us on the Michael Savage Podcast.
Thank you, Michael. Always great to be with you.
Savage.
Well, thank you very much for listening to today's podcast. I hope you've enjoyed it and learned something from it. We have about 400 other episodes available for you to listen to absolutely free. You can go back into our vast library of podcasts and listen to any one of them at any time. And remember this, if you want to listen to my podcast ad-free, sign up for the Savage Premium Membership and get access to ad-free podcasts as well as some premium content from our Savage Archives. How do you sign up for those ad-free podcasts? Please visit michaelsavage.com for a link. Again, thank you for your listenership. This is Michael Savage.